This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. We gather together, of course, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we strive to be open to the Holy Spirit to see what it is that He has in mind for us as we gather together this day. Always eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We do love having holy conversation with you, and that's why we invite you to join us here. It's Wednesday. That means it is Wacky Wednesday, and Sue Brinkman is with us. And on this particular day of the week, we talk about the weird and the wacky, the odd things that we see going on. We try to separate the light from the darkness, the truth from the false. We try to underscore and evaluate that which is being presented to us through the culture of the day to determine if it is a commensurate in line with the teachings of Holy Mother Church and Sacred Scripture, and to warn against those things that would lead us astray. You know, the evil one is always looking for a way to enter into our lives through temptation, through seduction, through delusion, through titillation, through, you know, just exciting the senses in some way. He's always striving to take us away from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's to that end that we offer you on Wednesday's Wacky Wednesday. So we do invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on our radio program. We have Tom Price, who is doing our screening for us today. When you call in, be sure to say howdy hey to him. Let us know if you're a first-time caller, and we will ring our bell for you to welcome you for your debut. We'll also do the same thing if you're a first-time submitter. You can submit your question to us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook pages. There's a chat feature at each of those sites. Use it. Put in your question or comment. Your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening, if you're not listening to us via the social media opportunity, but only using that to get your message to us. Let us know that, and we will certainly address your question or your comment in our time together today. One other way in which you can contact us is via text. Just text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will be happy to receive it, and we will address it. We have Ace McKay out there doing that retrieving today for us, and we have Vanessa Sanchez with us right there in the studio making the whole thing happen. She is our producer. So we're grateful. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for the opportunity to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ through the airwaves. We at Women of Grace strive to share it through every form of media, including in-person events. And we have got a Women of Grace extravaganza coming up for you later this month. That word just came to me as I was just out here kind of taking a look at everything that is going to be going on in the time that we're together there at Malvern Retreat House there in Malvern, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, PA. It is an extravaganza. It's a great opportunity for us to come and to explore the great gift of our authentic femininity through the various presentations that we are going to hear, and basically through the theme. The theme is hope for the journey. Hope for the journey. And we do need to exercise that theological virtue of hope. We're going to be learning about hope. We're going to learn how to walk in hope. We're going to learn how to discern hope from optimism. Did you ever think about that? There's a big difference between the theological virtue of hope and optimism. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things, but we are going to also have a lot of fun, a lot of fellowship, and experience our faith together. So fun, faith, fellowship, fun, however you want to arrange those three words. That's all coming up at this Women of Grace beautiful, beautiful extravaganza. I'm going to keep using that word because I like it so much. It's taking place at Malvern. The retreat itself is preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. And this year, our presenter is our academic advisor for our Benedicta Institute for Women, Dr. Donald Wallenfang. And I got to tell you what a fascinating, fascinating topic he's going to be exploring with us. I just can't wait to attend and to hear what he's going to be sharing with us. It is consecrating conflict. Did you ever think about the fact that conflict could be consecrated? Consecrating conflict, finding hope in the struggle. He is going to be presenting this beautiful enrichment seminar on that theme. And listen, I want to tell you what, you know, we all experience moments of conflict in our lives. Sometimes the conflict exists within ourselves, oftentimes with people that we love, sometimes with coworkers, sometimes just in the public square. Sometimes it's in the marketplace of ideas. But how is it that that conflict itself can lead us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ? And how do we function in that conflict in a holy way? We're going to be finding out about that as we journey together for this beautiful opportunity at the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. That is going to happen July 24th through the 25th. It begins early in the morning on July the 24th. That's a Thursday. So you'll want to come in on Wednesday, July 24th through the 25th. And it will end probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so on the 25th, in time for us to get ready for the retreat that will begin that evening, July 25th, in the evening. I think it starts with dinner. It might start with the Mass. I have to look at the schedule. It's out there. You can consult it for yourself. All of the topics are listed there. All of the talk titles are listed there. And that, of course, the theme is Hope for the Journey, as I mentioned to you. On this Saturday, July 26th, we are going to have an opportunity for our young women of grace. We're encouraging you to bring your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, your goddaughter, students from your class, and the girls will gather together. Their theme is Be Virtuous, Be Hopeful, Be Happy. You see how everything is around this virtue of hope, so necessary today, especially in light of some of the situations and circumstances that we have just encountered, the devastation, of course, by the flooding and all. How do we maintain hope in the midst of these kinds of very difficult realities that come our way? We will be discovering that. So this is going to be lovely for the young girls. Be virtuous, be hopeful, be happy. Saturday, July the 26th. If your daughter is coming with you and you're traveling in, she, of course, will be able to attend our Friday night gathering for the women, and she'll be able to attend the healing service on Saturday evening, and she will be able to attend the Sunday opportunity. But that Saturday, that's broken out just for the teen girls. So we invite you to check it all out at our website, womenofgrace.com. Everything is up there for you. You can register right there. There's still time, still time. Things are filling up, but there is still time, still seats. Still see, we still got a seat for you. Your name is on it. So sign up and join us for this beautiful, beautiful Women of Grace extravaganza. We just might have to rename it to that because, oh, I just like it so much. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live today, or use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Coming back with Sue Brinkman. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you today on this wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is going to be joining us in just a moment. I do want to remind you, though, about all of the good things that Women of Grace is doing, and I was telling you about the Women of Grace extravaganza. Just want to invite you once again to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Take a look at everything that's going on. The last weekend in July, well, beginning with the last Thursday in July and running through that weekend at Malvern Retreat House. Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is available on the Thursday and Friday. The retreat begins Friday night and runs through Sunday. Young Women of Grace event taking place on Saturday for the young ladies while the adult women are in their own group setting. And all of the, you can register for one or the other, or you can register for both the Benedicta and the retreat, whatever works with your schedule. We just want to see you there. So go on out there and take a look at that. So I wanted to just share that with you again. So without further ado, let us welcome Sue. Hi, Sue. How are you?
Oh, you're rhyming today. This is going to be a good one. I can tell already. I know I'm already wacky, but that's from the heat up here. We're all melting right now in Philadelphia. It's just very, very hot. Very hot.
It's so hot here, anyway, too, in Birmingham.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? It's the summer. It's the summer, so we just have to live with it, even though it makes us a little wacky. But on Wednesdays, that's just what we do, right?
Yeah.
The wacky Wednesdays, women of Wednesday.
That's exactly right. We don't mind being wacky women on Wednesday because we talk about some of the wackiness that we see going on in the culture of the day. And there certainly is a lot. And first of all, Sue, you know, I mentioned yesterday on the air and we talked about suffering and we talked about how God uses suffering and how our suffering really is the greatest prayer that we can offer. And I say all of that again to ask all of our listeners today to continue to pray for all of those individuals in Kerrville. We know that as the floodwaters recede, they're discovering more and more bodies. I think this morning I heard it was up to 171. People are now beginning to talk about their experience of that. We're hearing from children that are sharing their experience of that. And then a dear friend of my granddaughter's brother was tragically drowned yesterday in Lake Michigan. And so I want to remember that family and ask everybody to pray for that family, to lift up the Randolph family. So, you know, lots of tragedy, you know, and as we talk about these tragedies, we're reminded of the fact that we have this great, great theology of suffering that comes by way of Holy Mother Church. And St. John Paul II has done so much to help us to understand how to enter into the treasure of grace that's available in suffering. But we're also very aware of the fact that the evil one wants to use every opportunity to exacerbate our pain and suffering by offering us means that promise to help us, but in the end, only make it worse for us. And we're going to be talking about some of those things today. We had chosen this topic, and it was interesting that, you know, God's timing was perfect, really, because of what we're experiencing now nationally. So share a little bit with us what you're discovering about some of these nefarious things that are growing up around the whole area of grief.
Oh my goodness, this is really chilling. It's very scary. They're known as grief bots.
B-O-T-S?
Grief bots.
B-O-T-S. B-O-T-S.
Grief bots, B-O-T-S. And they are artificial intelligence. And it's an AI-generated digital recreation of the deceased that mimics their speech, their behavior, their personality. You know, it relies upon data that it collects. You know, and it's all over the internet now. It's all over the web because of our social media presence. We have their voice, what they look like. We even have text messages, social media posts, video recordings, so that the bereaved, this AI-generated person, or whatever you want to call it, it's not a person, a bot, actually talks and reacts exactly like your loved one who has died. And the bereaved will typically interact with this grief bot either via a chat box, like they'll text back and forth with them, or in video or audio recordings. And then these are then marketed to the bereaved as a tool to comfort them. Mm-hmm. A tool to comfort them. Now, Time Magazine just did a big cover story, and I believe it's still this week that it's still on the cover. It's called "The Dead Have Never Been So Talkative: The Rise of AI Resurrection." I thought that was a great title for that. But the writer interviewed Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, and his mother had died, and it took a picture of his mother hugging him and made a video out of it. And in the video, she's laughing, she's rocking him in her arms, and Ohanian said he was not ready for how that felt when he watched that. He said, "This is exactly how she hugged me. I have rewatched it 50 times. He couldn't get over this, how real she looked. So this is what grief bots are designed to do. They're to bring comfort to the bereaved in a much more experiential way, really, than resorting to just a medium who supposedly gives you a message, a voice message from the other side. But that's only one side of this issue. On the other side, there's all kinds of problems with this. Not hard to imagine them. One of the most serious is known as grief interrupted. And experts say that these digital recreations of the dead actually can complicate the grieving process. Instead of confronting the death of your loved one, it keeps alive this sense of connection that the person has to the bot of their loved one, and that in turn can interrupt the process. On another level, just like mediums are known to exploit people who come to them for messages from their deceased loved ones, the commercialization of grief bots is raising serious concerns about exploitation as well. So, you know, they're very emotionally vulnerable at that time when you're grieving, and they might be susceptible to very expensive services, anything that's going to make them feel better and kind of soothe the pain that they're feeling inside. So it's kind of like, you know, taking advantage of grief for profit is what actually happens there. So another interesting question, this is raised by a University of Alabama, Birmingham article. It was how misrepresentations or misuse of a grief bot can actually distort the person's memory or values. Mm. So it alters how the loved one and society remembers that person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem with it. They can also unintentionally alter or oversimplify memories of the deceased. This optimization could transform genuine mourning into a form of addiction, is what that article said. Now, all that can happen from incomplete or biased data, creating an inaccurate portrayal of the deceased, and that can lead to harming the deceased's dignity and their legacy, and raises concerns about, okay, how are we ethically representing and honoring our dead? Now, from a Catholic point of view, grief bots really raise the risk of distorting your belief in life after death, which is a critical component of our faith, right? If we can keep a version of our loved one alive, why believe in the afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
You can keep him alive. I mean, you can just go and talk to him anytime you want. And how much respect are we showing to the personhood of our loved one if we reduce them to a fabrication, to a caricature of what they once were? And the other thing, too, the church believes in the importance of authentic human relationships. Grief bots undermine this teaching because they encourage an artificial form of intimacy with a caricature rather than with a human being. So some say that grief bots can be helpful if used correctly, but they also run the risk of encouraging dependence that is really neither, and I'm surmising this from what I've read, this is neither spiritually nor emotionally healthy. You should not get into it. You just shouldn't get into it at all. So this is something that I think we have to really think twice about before you get involved in a grief bot or a medium for that matter, because a lot of people do that too. That's very popular. Mediums are very popular for that. And I just think that it's something that you need to avoid. Just stay away from it.
Well, the thing that really concerns me is the mental health issue with this as well, mm-hmm. because, you know, this is a delusion. This is an artificially generated image that is acting in, a very live kind of a way. So the concern that I have is that this can also lead people into a type of delusion where they begin to believe it. We already know that there are difficulties and struggles with individuals who are in love with AI, with a created image on a screen, even Siri's voice. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. we already there. This is promoting delusionary living. This is once again the kind of thing that is attacking reality. And you know, we're living in a day and a time where we don't believe that anything is actually objective. Anything can be changed. So we've seen that with gender, you know, transgenderism, mm-hmm. that the biological realities really don't matter. They're not significant in any way, which we certainly know is not the case. So there's that kind of a delusion that has gained, you know, to some extent, great cultural approbation. And now this is another attempt. And all that this is doing is something that you've underlined already, and that it's dehumanizing. It's taking away the human reality of who we are. We are created human beings, a body soul component. This is the way that God's made us. And we're flying in the face of the truth of who we are. And in a sense, we are flying in the truth of who God is. It's terribly, terribly upsetting. And I agree that this does have the possibility of interrupting the grieving process. And I'm thinking to myself how dangerous that can be, because there is such a thing, and grief counselors will tell you that it does exist. It's called morbid grief. And it's when the person really doesn't grieve properly. It is a suspended kind of a grief. They live in a delusion for a period of time. And then when that grief hits them, it's twice as difficult. Another type of morbid grief is never allowing the loved one to really, what's the word that I want to say, be out of your life, in the sense that you prolong the grieving process and it becomes morbid. Your whole life revolves around the loss of this loved one. You know, there's a very real difference between losing yourself in the memory of the person and holding that memory in high regard and maintaining that loving relationship, but in a different way through the communion of saints. So, you know, I think it's very, very dangerous. And my concern, of course, is that given the whole issue that we have now with these tragedies, that mm-hmm. people will be can succumb to this. Losing a child is a very hard thing. Losing anybody is a very hard thing. There's no question about it. Losing a child is a very, very difficult grief, for which psychologists say there's really no healing. That wound is always open. There's a way to accommodate life around that wound, but nonetheless, it is something that is deep, and in a sense, more permanent than grieving the loss of another person that we love. So I'm concerned for these people. I'm just concerned.
I'm very concerned for them also. And also, you know, you're letting a machine recreate your loved one. What if he gets it wrong? And you're becoming addicted to this grief bot. This is what happens. This is what happens. This person out there, it's not him or her. It's not them. Right. I look at these parents who lost two daughters.
Yes.
Two. At you know, in these terrible floods.
I think there were two sets of parents that lost two children, twins, and then an older sibling and a younger sibling.
Right. The two Catholic girls mm-hmm. that were found with the rosary. Yes. You think about how overwhelming that grief must be with them, and how if they had an opportunity to hear that little one's voice again, or see that little one's face again, how vulnerable they are to really wanting to do this. And then when they see it and they feel such comfort by seeing it, how they're going to want to come back more and more and more to see this loved one, how it can really spiral out of control. I really don't think this is a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea at all. You know, we want to remember our loved ones. I know me. It took me. I still to this day, Johnette, I have my dad's voice mm-hmm. on my phone. Mm-hmm. I still to this day can't listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's so hard for me to hear his voice. Because I miss him, you know, all over again.
Yes.
I just can't imagine sitting in front of a grief bot of my dad. I would just be sitting there blubbering the whole time, crying. But I guess some people do get comfort from it, and that's what's really fueling it. There are people out there who are getting something from it and saying that it's a positive thing, and so they want to continue to visit their grief bot, or to have that chat box available to them so they can text the way they would have texted their loved one in life. And that that bot responds exactly as your loved one would have responded. It's really eerie if you think about it. It's very eerie.
And it's quite different than sitting down with a photo album or watching, you know, home movies, for example. It's a very different thing. Because this is an ongoing experience as opposed to something that's frozen in time that you look back as a memory. This is not allowing the memory. This grief bot is not allowing that part of the experience of grief to take place. It's replacing it with an illusion that this person is still living and active. I think it's quite a different thing. I think it's quite a different emotional process.
It really is. And you're kind of living out your life in a way with this loved one who really isn't there anymore. Right. And you're talking to them about things that are going on in your life and blah, blah. And it's not that person. It's not your loved one. So you're kind of like almost living in a fantasy land and in some sort of a wonderful fairy tale where your loved one didn't die. You know, I can feel for it. I can see why they are becoming so popular, but they are a thing. This is now a thing, grief bots. And it's getting a lot of attention out there. People are writing about it. I really love the UAB article that I quote in here and give links to because they really handle this subject very objectively. They give both sides of it. But I'll tell you, the most chilling parts of it are where they're giving you the warnings.
Yeah.
About how, you know, the commodification of mourning, how they can be, you know, grief for profit. They get into that too.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to a break, friends. And when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. And the phone lines are lighting up. We're inviting you to call us too. I think we've got three lines available right now. So let's fill them up. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. You can also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply, or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature. Coming right back, more with Sue on the other side of the break. We'll be with you too. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're happy you are with us today. It's Wednesday. It's a wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're talking about the weird and the wacky. Our topic today had to do with grief bots. That's B-O-T-S. These are artificially generated imitations of our deceased loved ones. And many people, are touting these out there, but there are a lot of warnings and a lot of people are saying, no, this is not a good thing. Sue and I are discussing it and discussing the reality of it, especially through the lens of our faith. And is this something that the church would agree with and why or why not? That's the discussion for the day. We'll take your questions about anything weird and wacky, though, that you see or that you have questions about. Let me give you that toll-free number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live, toll free right here on Women of Grace Live. Tom Price answering the phones today. Ace McKay is going to retrieve the questions or comments that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. He'll also gather those text messages. Just text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We will get that, and do know that data and message rates may apply. Well, Sue, we've got Molly with us. She's been with us since the very beginning. She is in Buffalo, New York today, and she's got a question for us. She's listening to us via Station of the Cross. Good morning, Molly. How are you? Hi, Molly. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you've been waiting a long time. Maybe you fell asleep. It's been so long.
It sounded like it was going from the one from Friday. You were talking about the children and the sons. I don't know. This is Wacky Wednesday, though, right? Correct?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay. I guess I just wanted to bring up the Course in Miracles. Now, I was born Catholic and about 12 years ago, I lived in Florida, and I was going to Catholic Mass, and I was Catholic, and friends of mine asked me to go to church with them. So I ended up going, and I was somewhat involved, kind of, sort of. I really, I don't know, there was a connection with the minister, but I didn't really believe what they believed. But they brought up about the Course of Miracles, and they were teaching this. And I guess I had no idea. And I had no idea what even New Age was 11 years ago. I don't know now if people are more familiar with it. But, you know, when I think of Revelation, I thought of it going to happen in 2,000 years from now. And I just never even thought, I just had no idea about any of it. So I did some research on it, and Helen Schumacher, or whatever her name is, she really had a very distraught sickness before she died and went into a deep depression. And, you know, I'm worried people could get involved with it. And when ministers talk about it, they have a way of coercing that there's no sin, but getting it across to people that people are believing this and there's no right and wrong. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, is this something prevalent through the Catholic? I mean, I kind of fell into it because I went to somebody else's church.
Let me ask you a question. So what was this when you're using the phrase minister, I'm assuming this is not a Catholic church, or you would be using the name, the word priest. So is this a Protestant church? Is it a Unity church? What kind of a church was it that you were at that it's presenting A Course in Miracles?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I went for about a year and a half, and then I became very close with the minister. They call me their poster child because I was going to Catholic Mass and I was getting very involved with God, and I was saying the rosary all over Unity of Fort Lauderdale, having no idea that anybody had a problem with it.
Well, Unity Church, it's important to understand that Unity Church is, I would say, Sue, if we were to say that you know, that there is a church that's representative of the New Age, it would be Unity Church. That's not surprising that they were presenting A Course in Miracles and probably a whole lot of other bunk as well. But Sue, go ahead and explain. Talk to Molly.
Yeah, so the Course in Miracles, that is a really good question. I'm glad you brought it up, Molly. Course in Miracles is very heretical. Helen Schuchman, who was a psychologist, actually very esteemed psychologist. She taught Father Benedict Rochelle psychology. But she claimed to have been channeling Jesus Christ and that he dictated the course to her over a period of 7 years. And what it teaches is really a heretical, very heretical view of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and the entire doctrine of salvation. And it does so in ways that, I mean, unless you're catechized, you could fall for this. You could definitely fall for it. Essentially, it teaches you that we all already live in heaven with God, and that our lives on earth, this is just a bad dream that we need to wake up from. And this is what you're trying to do through the Course in Miracles, is you're trying to wake up from this Judeo-Christian worldview and adopt this whole new theology and philosophy of life that teaches that sin, guilt, death, judgment, propitiatory, atonement, and other biblical doctrines are what they call attack philosophies, meaning that they stand in the way of your spiritual progress, and you need to get rid of all that. Okay, men and women don't require salvation in the biblical sense because they're already divine. So it really goes way off the rails. You take the course over a course of a year, 365 days, and every day you have to do these little exercises, and they're meant really to brainwash you. You say, nothing I see in this room means anything, and you say it over and over and over again for a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes at night, and then you are to look at the objects around you and say things like, this table doesn't mean anything to me, or this hand doesn't mean anything to you. And it sounds silly at first, but that's only the beginning. By lesson 96, you're being taught that salvation comes from myself. By 303, you're saying the Holy Christ is born in me today. So, and yeah, you brought up her death, that she, at the end of her life, Father Groeschel, who personally knew her, he felt very deep compassion for her, because at the moment of her death, she was really suffering, and yet she denied, the Course denies all suffering. And she spent the last years of her life instead of one of the blackest psychotic depressions he had ever witnessed. He said, it was almost frightening to be with her. I clearly observed that denial of the reality of suffering could have catastrophic consequences in her. So this is not a course you should be involved in. If it was a Unity Church, I mean, that doesn't surprise me, because the Unity Church, really the founders of that church, were pioneers in the New Thought movement mm-hmm. of the late 19th century, right? And that's the origin of New Age self-help industry. If you believe it, or you conceive it, you can receive it. I mean, this is just how they were. Your mind is all powerful. You can see how A Course in Miracles would fit into that. So I'm glad you're bringing it up, though, Molly. It's still very, very popular out there. Many people still prescribe it. It's actually called the New Age Bible. The book is, A Course in Miracles is called and referred to as the New Age Bible.
So, Molly, I hope that helps you, but, you know, I want to encourage you. Do you still go to Unity Church?
Oh, I don't go. And
oh,
I
good.
Haven't
I'm so
gone.
Glad.
I went for about a year and a half, and the ministers, they had a liking to me, probably because I was Catholic, but I have a minister that she goes to Catholic Church now. She retired, and she's going, but she struggles, and I haven't heard from her in about a year and a half. Her mother died, and I sent her a Mass card, and novenas, and then it snowed really hard, and she's like, used it as a retreat, and she was fine, and everything was fine, and then I never heard from her again.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're back in the church. I'm glad that this, experiment was over for you. And I'm glad that you sensed interiorly that something was off here. That shows really good discernment. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you. But I do thank you for your question. It was a great question. We get asked, explanation about A Course in Miracles frequently enough. So you gave us an opportunity today to get into it. So God bless mm-hmm. you, Molly. Call back again in the future. We appreciate your call. We appreciate your calls, too, 833-288-EWTN. I want to go to Gabe next. Gabe is in Cleveland listening to us via The Rock, and he has some deep information for us on The Course in Miracles and the Grief Bot. He's got a question, too. Hi, Gabe. How are you?
Oh, my beloved Jeanette and Sue, I just adore you both, and I love Jack. Awesome. I just have to say, you know, that my moniker was, one of the many, is Nagger, New Age Goddess Guru Emeritus Retired Renunciate Resurrected. So given that, I was a Course in Miracles student for 25 years. I was both in the Catholic Church and going to Unity for that amount of time. And I got to tell you, I've got a big-time Major League book I'm going to be writing about the delusional, defective, just distortion of A Course in Miracles. It's the amalgam filling of spirituality, okay? And poor Helen Schuckman, God bless her, she grew up with actually quite an array of things, but she grew up with, like, Christian Science, too. And at her end of her life, she was battling demons. She renounced. She repented that she had ever written A Course in Miracles. So just people, pray for her, please. All right. Given that, The Course in Miracles is a Eastern mysticism book covered in Christic language, and they use Holy Spirit. It's just an abomination, okay? It's written in iambic pentameter. I mean, guys, I'm going to write the book. I'm going to be consulting you, okay? All right, given that, I woke up this morning thinking about the Stepford Wives. There's no, I'm praying with Mother Angelica, thinking about the, and then here's this today. So here's the thing. Grief is my best friend. Grief is my constant companion. Grief didn't decide to be grief. It just is. And I got to say that this AI stuff, I say, guys, straight from the bowels of hell. Because it's interrupting mm-hmm. the natural process, the organic process of grief, which is going to involve memories. You know, I go to the Holy Spirit. I pray for my beloved ones. You know, I know we're not supposed to stay there in heaven. I do say that sometimes, but just, I know that that's not true and God designs that. But I do pray for them, and I pray for their souls in purgatory. And and all the ones that don't have anyone to pray for them. I think the rosary, Eucharist, adoration, that is the best way to handle grief, okay? You know, just having that constant companion with our Lord and our Blessed Mother, that is the organic, natural way to do it. And this other stuff, guys, I'm trying to learn about AI because I don't want to find out false information about the Pope. Or, you know, they're doing this. I mean, we're talking misinformation, disinformation. It's like a Marxist camp for like horror, you know. So I just wanted to make those comments. And you, I love you both so much. And I want you to pray for me because I finally came to on this system that I was taught in. It's called Holographic Health. I was ignoring it. I had it underneath my shrine. It's out in the garage now, and I've got to burn it. And I will talk to you offline sometime about it, but it is definitely not for God. Even though it tries to, you know, take all the healing systems of the world, quantum physics, yada, yada, the thing that made me realize it is it does not have the authority of the Catholic Church as far as dealing with demons. So,
yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for that, because I don't think, I'm looking right now, but I don't think I have that in my library, which means, oh, I just love you because now I get to go look it up. I've got holographic chips, holotropic breath work. I do not have holographic health. Is that right? Am I saying that right? Holographic health.
Yes, it is. And I do love the person who he was a very erudite person. He had all these gifts. But here's the thing, when you have these special gifts, you're just like a plaything for the devil, you know? When you have, you can see energy, blah, blah, blah. You know, I finally came to, the Holy Spirit broke through because I think I was resisting it, and bam, it's like, oh, it's out in the garage right now, and I'm going to take it to my my spiritual advisor when he comes back, and I'm going to have him burn it for me.
What is it? Is it a machine? I mean, what is it? A book?
So, okay. Thank you guys. And
Gabrielle, is it a book or is it a machine or what is it?
It's a whole system of learning. It's multiple books. It's a whole system of learning. It's like for naturopathic physicians, chiropractors, you know, that kind of thing.
Here we go. Anyway, homeopathic. Yeah.
I mean, and there's great learning in there. Don't get me wrong. But again, it's the amalgam filling analogy. It's like, he doesn't have the authority that the bishops have over demons. And when that hit me, when the Holy Spirit revealed that to me, I'm like, oh my goodness, I got it. And, you know, I could feel it. Like, I could feel the, like, badness of it when I was taking it out of the house, you know?
Yeah. I used a word with Molly, and I'll use it with you, discernment, you know, and we've got to pay attention to that. You know, when we feel uncomfortable with something, We've got to let it alone, even if it doesn't logically make sense that we should feel uncomfortable with something. We have to let it go. In many cases, it is the Holy Spirit that is prevailing upon us, helping us to stay out of spiritual trouble. Or sometimes, you know, it's our emotions. They're not ready to receive something. In all cases, you know, we should just wait, put things on pause, let it go, pay attention to that. And you have, and I'm happy about that. And thank you for sharing with us a little bit more about A Course in Miracles and the difficulties in the history of it is very important. And you've given us that. So thank you, Gabrielle. Appreciate having you on the air now. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's go to Debbie in Lancaster, PA today. Good morning, Debbie. How are you listening to us? Let me see. We're going to get you on the air here. I understand that Jack is actually doing the call screening today. I thought it was Ace McKay, but it's not. It's Jack Williams. Hi, Debbie.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Debbie is out there on YouTube. How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing wonderful, and I'm so happy I finally got to speak to you two beautiful ladies. I love you guys so much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Really, really look so forward to these Wednesdays because it's right up my alley.
So what's going on with you?
I've been wanting to call, actually, for about 2 years now, and there is this lady at church, who got very friendly with me. And actually, we had a little prayer group. But she started telling stories of when she was in the New Age. And she had some really bizarre experiences about being, I don't know, thrown into outer space and talking to this being. And she just, like, relished in it. I can't explain it. Like, I don't like talking about my past, especially when I dabbled in a few things I know I shouldn't have. But she just kind of got off on it. Well, anyway, I tried to withdraw from her, you know, a little at a time, because I, you know, even in Bible study, she would say she always disagreed with the Apostle Paul, so she always tried to be a little bit controversial. But anyway, this one time, and it was near Christmas. Can you hear me? Because I am.
Yeah. No, we hear you.
I am. Okay, I'm sitting outside.
But we just have 5 minutes left, so.
Okay. Well, anyway, she sends me a Christmas card, and in it is looked like two tea bags, and it had some kind of herbs in them. They were attached, but no strings were on them, like a tea. And I was just wondering if Sue ever heard of anything, you know, that bizarre being sent to anyone, or what could it possibly be or represent? I don't know.
Something on a string, you said?
The tea bag looked like a tea bag, no strings. You know, like when, you know, you put your tea in a drink or something.
Right, yeah.
These were just in a clear bag, but there were two of them attached together. So they weren't separate.
Okay.
But I always wondered if that was some kind of, I don't know, concoction she made up. I don't know.
Could well, be, I mean, because, you know...
I was just going to say, I have seen some brands of tea that have, you know, it's like two tea bags that are joined together. It's just the way that the manufacturer makes it. But I don't know specifically about what you saw. Sue, have you seen or heard anything?
No, not that. Not the two bags stuck together like that. But there are different kinds of kombucha tea and different kinds of tea. It really depends on how you're using the tea. The tea itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're ascribing some kind of magical healing powers to this tea that really haven't been supported by science, and it needs to be supported by science, then you're just really getting yourself involved in superstitious medicine if that's why you're using these things, because you think it's going to heal you of something. That's superstitious if you persist in using something that has never been proven to work by modern science. So it could be anything, because the New Age is also very riddled with alternative medicine, and a lot of that is herbal-type concoctions out of this belief that you can heal yourself and that there's things that you have healing power from within yourself. That's a New Age belief, and that the Earth has everything that we need in order to heal us. Now, what they don't explain is if the Earth has everything we need to heal us, and we're using all these things, how come people up until modern times, when we had modern medicine, how come they died by the time they were 45? So if they had all these things on the earth, why didn't it work for them? Why? Because they're not in a, they are have not been put into a product that the body can actually use for healing. And that's science, which is a gift from the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gave that to us. The science that makes us able to take an herb, which is the basis of a lot of different medicines, but make that into something that can actually treat the body. So, but these beliefs, Debbie, they're all over the New Age. So that could have been anything that she was doing. The one thing you said to me, that she went into outer space, and that I wrote down on my notes here, astro traveling, and that's what she was doing. She was astral traveling, which is a thing where they believe, this comes from theosophy, they believe that, you know, they can just leave their body and go and to the different levels of existence and visit them all, and that they're connected by this long silver string, and that string will always bring them back to the present level where they are. Very occult type stuff, astro traveling. But it's a shame that she still seems to be enamored by it. That's the way you're describing it to us, Debbie, that your friend is still enamored by it.
Well, and a perfect example of what it's a perfect example of seduction, right? And delusion, and the way in which the evil one works. But I'm glad you see it, Debbie, and pray for her. She needs some prayers. That's for sure. Rosary, have a mass celebrated for her. Even though she goes to church, she's got herself pretty well confused there. Well, Sue, it's been great. It always is great with you and friends. It's wonderful to be with all of you Monday through Friday. If you were not able to get on the air today, I'm inviting you to please call back tomorrow. I could see your questions. I really do want to address all of them. So please give us a call tomorrow. We are here every Wednesday with Sue Brinkman, and we are with you Monday through Friday. Get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. See what's going on. God bless you now. Bye-bye.